what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, July the 17th, 2024. Ed Battagliano in studio with me. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
All right, good morning.
And good morning, Fred Jackson.
Howdy, Tim.
All right, wanted to let people know I talked to Alex McFarlane, our colleague and friend. Alex is in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, at the Republican National Convention. I'm not sure if he's a delegate from North Carolina, but somehow Alex got himself a front row seat.
Yes.
And he sent me pictures last night bragging about it. Hey, I'm on the front row, and you're not.
Yeah, where are you sitting?
I'm sitting on my patio.
Which, if you can't be on the front row, right, then the patio,
right,
then
patio works.
That's a
fine
country song, right?
That
there.
Is.
It's kind of like life. If you ain't on the front row, you might as well be on your patio. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's a joke, but there's someone taking notes right now.
Oh yeah,
these would be great lyrics.
Anyway, so I text Alex, and I said, "It's not very Christian-like to gloat." That was my first thing I said to him. And I'm teasing. I was he was so excited, and I was happy for him, and I said, hey, can you come on the radio show Today's Issues tomorrow and be with us to tell us about your experience and about what's going on? And so an hour from now, Alex will be on with us. So we're looking forward to a visit with Alex McFarlane.
He sent, or somebody sent around a photo, a selfie. I don't know if it was a selfie or someone took the photo of Alex with, was it Donald Trump Jr.?
No, Eric Trump.
Eric Trump.
So, I didn't realize Eric was that tall. I mean,
he looks like 6'4 or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought, 6'3, 6'4.
He makes Alex look like a, can I say midget? Can you say midget? Is that acceptable?
No, you can't say midget.
Okay.
Well,
don't say midget anymore.
I won't say midget anymore.
Don't say midget. You can't.
Can't say it.
I'll just put it this way. If Alex and Eric Trump were playing in a basketball game, I'm gonna go with Eric. Is that appropriate?
Yeah. No, that's a nice way of putting it.
Okay. Anyway,
and you could also say that Eric would easily dunk on.
Now, Alex, he may be quick. He may go right around
that's
Eric.
True.
You know, you've seen these little quick water bugs. You know, they can
water
go right
bugs.
I don't think I'd say water
bug. I'm glad you know what a water bug is.
Well, I do know, but yeah. If I can't say midget, maybe I can't say water bug. Can you say that?
No, water bug
is acceptable.
Water bug.
That's dehumanizing, though, isn't it? Call somebody
on
a water bug?
On the other hand, it elevates water bug to a whole new level.
That's how I saw it, the elevation of water bug.
And ladies and gentlemen, you understand now why it's up to me to keep this show on track. Because Wesley and Ed, you never know where they're going to go with this.
Hey, with that in mind, can I mention
going to make
something?
A church announcement?
No. Okay,
we're going to do announcements from the pulpit
the
now?
Casserole potluck
committee.
we'll meet
this afternoon. Go ahead.
Somebody sent me, I guess this went around to leadership here at AFA. This is a post on X from someone named Justin Hart. I don't know who this is. And it is a video of children in Uganda recreating the assassination attempt on President Trump. I'm looking, I'm serious. And these kids, whoever gets to play Donald Trump is raising his hand saying, fight, fight, fight after wow. it.
In Uganda?
In Uganda. So look at
it's worldwide.
It's gone worldwide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not kidding.
These are kids because they had the podium there, and then the person playing Trump touches his ear.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that incredible? And he gets up going,
kids in Uganda probably know more about what happened than a lot of kids here in America.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Why, because they're TikToking or something?
That's extraordinary.
All right, so we look forward to visiting with Alex about him being in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. So, Fred, what's your first story?
Well, first story is the speeches last night at the convention featured people who not too long ago, during the Republican primaries, were enemies of Donald Trump, political enemies of Donald Trump. But
opponents, enemies.
But last night,
language.
Yeah, last night, they came back to say there's one enemy here, and that is Joe Biden.
Right.
And we got to get together. And
it was bird brain into sanctimonious.
Yes.
Don't bring that back. We're past
that. I'm just saying that they were on display last night.
Midget Marco.
Yes.
And Little Marco. Yeah.
Little Marco.
Nikki Haley, sometimes known as Bird Brain, as you just referenced.
Yeah. That was a bad one.
What?
The other ones,
Trump's
I'm okay
nicknames,
with, yeah.
people?
That was not a good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Anyway, she was back. Has the AP headline on this said this morning, to cheers and jeers, Nikki Haley took the podium last night. Here's a little bit of what she had to say. Cut three.
We should acknowledge that there are some Americans who don't agree with Donald Trump 100% of the time. I happen to know some of them. And I want to speak to them tonight. My message to them is simple. You don't have to agree with Trump 100% of the time to vote for him.
All right. So that was kind of the tone of the speech last night from Nikki Haley.
Trump and Nikki Haley.
We talked about this yesterday.
Go ahead.
Well, we talked about this yesterday.
Surmise.
Yesterday we had Dr. Frank Turek on.
Yeah.
And we talked about when you're going, I'm taking the 30-minute conversation and bringing it down to a tweet.
Right.
Or an X. We talked about when you have, as the candidates and as the election season progresses, you get down to two candidates and that's where we're at. In between the two, you have to pick the better of the two candidates.
Right.
That's what we talked about.
Right.
And that's what she's saying here too. So she was listening to today's issues yesterday.
Her speech. I watched several of the speeches. Hers, she's not an exciting speaker. She's a very competent public speaker. Public speaking is not easy for most people. And she does, technically, she's good. But she wasn't inspiring. Some of the other speeches, Governor DeSantis, Marco Rubio, those were inspiring. But she did what she had to do. And her assignment, and that seems to be obviously the theme. There's several themes that are coming out here from the Republican convention in Milwaukee. Unity, party unity is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she did her job.
Mm-hmm.
She made clear that there was disagreement. And this is the way politics is supposed to work. And then you get together for the betterment of the country. And that's what she did. And that's what her speech communicated. And I think she helped herself. In the eyes of
what you just said, help yourself.
Yeah.
I.
In addition to doing the thing, doing the thing. Yeah.
So, as you guys just said, that's typically how this works over our country's history: is the candidates fighting for a party's nomination duke it out, call each other names.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they get together, unify, as is going on in Milwaukee, to beat the common opponent, in this case, Joe Biden of the Democrats.
Right.
With Nikki Haley, you got to remember, as big a margin as Donald Trump won by, Nikki Haley still pulled 15-20%, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
of the vote in the Republican Party primaries.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I don't remember the final percentage, maybe
15. This probably, and Governor Ron DeSantis pulled about the same amount. So while Trump was the overwhelming pick of Republican voters, those two candidates in particular together did represent a 30% of the Republican voters who said, you know, I want somebody else.
Right.
So I say that to say this, to President Trump's credit, he realized, hey, these were my opponents in the primary season, but he did his part to say it's time to unify.
Yes.
And so in order to do that, Trump said, I agree, or I want these two people, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, to have primetime slots to speak to the convention and to the nation, really, because, you know, it's really to the nation. And so he gave them that opportunity.
Yeah.
The timing on the Haley invitation, I think, is interesting, because on Friday last week, at that point, she had not been invited to speak at the convention. She had issued a statement, I'm releasing my delegates to Trump. Yeah. But at that point, she was not scheduled to speak. Now, she said last evening, I'm not sure if it was before the speech, that she got the invitation to speak. The question then becomes, did the invitation from President Trump occur on Saturday or Sunday?
Well, listen, I'll just say this, and then we'll move on from this. I've mentioned this before. I've just did I not give President Trump a ton of credit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me say where Trump's problem is with his personality, which causes Nikki Haley to hesitate about speaking at all, I would think. And this is true for all of us. This is not just a lesson for Donald Trump, but right. A lesson to Tim Wildman and all of us. When you personally demean people, you insult them in a very demeaning. You call a woman bird. We laugh about it, but you call somebody who worked in your administration a bird brain,
right?
Over and over and over, and you get everybody to laugh about it, and you ridicule her, especially a woman. That stings on a personal level,
right? Right.
So it's hard. And what I say is, Trump didn't need to do that. Never did need to do that. He needed to avoid that kind of thing so that you wouldn't even have a hesitation by Nikki Haley. I'm not saying that was the reason she hesitated. She had some policy disagreements with the president. But he needs to cut that stuff out.
Right.
He needs to cut – even about Biden, I would say, tone it down a little bit. You can still make your point without trying to pull somebody's pants down in public.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then say everybody look and laugh at them.
Did he not do that after they dropped out? I'm not justifying that it was right for him to do it at the beginning, but as the sanctimonious as we, you know, joked about earlier, because that's Trump's name, he did say, well, wait, I'm retiring that name.
But I don't care. You've already done it for a year.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're going to say, well, I'm not calling on that anymore, then you were disingenuous the whole time.
Agree, but you were just saying, though, that he needs to stop it. And I'm making a point that he has said he was going to stop it in some cases.
Listen, and I'm sure a lot of it is just Trump being Trump, as they say. I understand that. That's his personality. I'm just telling you, when somebody calls you a name over and over and over again, an insulting name over and over and over again, we're all human.
Yeah.
If I said to you, Ed, Fat Ed.
Yeah.
Not that you're fat.
Well, why'd you pick that?
Okay. I'm just bringing something out of the blue.
Why don't you just call me Birdman?
Okay.
Brady?
Well, Bert, which one? Would you rather have no intellect or be overweight? No. I'm just saying if I personally demeaned you for a year and then I said, come on, hey, Brett, you want to go lunch?
Yeah. Huh? And then I would say, oh, yeah, that's right, because that's what fat people want to do all the time.
Anyway, I just say there are a lot of things to like about President Trump, but the silly demeaning of people on a personal level is not one of his finest characteristics.
And so far, it seems to me, though, in this in the RNC, that it's coming, it's moving in the direction that you were saying it needs to.
Yeah, it's unifying. They're unifying. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida.
Let's get some audio from that.
Yeah, we got some from his speech last night. Once again, just calling the party together to work together.
Might have the best line of the night, too.
Yes, yeah. Cut number two.
Joe Biden has failed this nation. As a veteran, I was appalled when 13 of our service members were killed in Afghanistan due to Joe Biden's dereliction of duty. As a citizen, as a husband, and as a father, I am alarmed that the current president of the United States lacks the capability to discharge the duties of his office. Our enemies do not confine their designs to between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. We need a commander-in-chief who can lead 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. America cannot afford 4 more years of a Weekend at Bernie's presidency.
That was a great line.
That was a great line.
His speech was excellent. My personal opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. I think DeSantis had the best speech of the night. Marco Rubio's was a passionate and close second to the DeSantis' speech. But to your point, Tim, what does it take in terms of humility and a desire for unity for someone like Ron DeSantis, who was mocked by Trump during the campaign, all the things you just talked about, and he comes out and he says, we need this guy. Mm-hmm. We need Trump in the White House, and I'm backing him 100%.
Right.
I mean, it takes a great deal of humility on the part of his President Trump's one-time opponents to come out in such strong manner like DeSantis did. His was even stronger in support of Trump, I thought, than Nikki Haley.
Yeah. Did you guys see the black woman from New York City?
Yes.
Whose
son was killed?
Son was killed, and she was talking about the Alvin Bragg in New York, the DA, and how he had let her son's killers off so easily. She was going about how the poor minority communities across the country are living in fear and danger because of these liberal,
pro-criminal
policies.
Yeah.
In New York and other places. It was a very powerful speech. Now, she wasn't a professional speaker, or it wasn't polished, and she was just raw in her message. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see
that. You need to watch it. I don't even know her name.
What was the main purpose?
She was up there to talk about how America has become unsafe.
Okay.
There were a number of speakers sprinkled out throughout the night, in between the more well-known DeSantis, Rubio, so on and so forth. Ordinary people.
Vivek Ramaswamy, too.
Yeah, I have not heard his speech. But the ordinary people telling stories like this lady,
yes,
from New York City. Her husband, I mean, her son, had survived, I don't know how many deployments, in either Iraq or Afghanistan, only to come here and be killed.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at the formal titles of the different days at the convention, there are so many areas for the Republicans. It made it easy for the Republicans to pick targets like that.
Yeah.
Given what Joe Biden has not succeeded in doing.
Hey, make America safe again is a theme of this convention as well. That kind of make America great again has been expanded to include things like make America safe.
Well, today it's national security and foreign policy.
Right.
That's going to be the focus. Trump's
make America strong again is today.
They've been using a different kind of subheading under make America great again.
Every day, and they're including, now I think what you're going to see is speeches about foreign policy. Of course, DeSantis made reference to that. Yep. Foreign policy, Afghanistan is going to be mentioned.
I want to watch J.D. Vance speak, though. When is that?
That is tonight.
Okay.
That'll be the featured speech tonight.
Somebody tell me about what time it'll be. Do we know?
I can look it up.
Normally, it's around 8 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there is the major speech of the night.
I'm going to say this. I have generally paid attention to all the conventions and watched the conventions. Now, I watched these speeches. I'm just going to say, I went to bed early last night, just was tired, went to bed at 8 and woke up at 12:30, and I've been up since then. I just couldn't go back to sleep. So I watched all these speeches and watched a lot of the commentary at 2 and 3 in the morning today. So I am going to try to stay up to watch J.D. Vance live tonight if I can make it. I know I sound like an old man, but that's just this week. He's nodding his head that I sound like an old man. Well, I woke up at 12:30. Okay. So, but I will say this. Prior to this week, I watched all the conventions live since I was in junior high school.
Really?
Okay. I just would watch the speeches. I just always been interested. And I got to tell you, this one ranks up there in terms of the one of the conventions that I've watched that has been exciting, not boring. Some of these speeches were excellent, giving these ordinary people opportunities to speak, and the excitement that seems to be there. And you see that when your candidate is looking like he's going to win.
Yes.
I mean, Tim and I were talking, can you imagine in August when the Democrats have their
funeral?
How do you have a convention and go rah, 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 Joe Biden when a substantial percentage of the party doesn't even want him?
Well, I'll tell you, the Associated Press, very liberal, in talking about their convention story this morning, I think it was, talked about the energy at the Republican National Convention, and then they said juxtapose to what's going on inside the Democratic Party right now, because the revolt against Joe Biden is not going away. In fact, it's increasing. There was a New York Times story yesterday that got a hold of a letter, supposedly just for inside the Democratic Party, and it's all about something must be done about Joe Biden. Adam Schiff, who is far, far, far to the left in that party, trying to get a Senate seat out of California, saying Joe Biden's got to go. And they're saying, anonymous sources, you know they're deliberately releasing these.
That letter was probably deliberately leaked. Because they're trying to pour the pressure on.
Yes.
Increase the pressure on Biden.
In fact, there's a big meeting of leading Democrats this Friday, and they're going to start putting a plan in place to have a virtual nomination vote probably in the first week of August. This is before their convention. So they're trying to settle down this opposition to Biden. Biden's not going anywhere. He is determined to stay.
Do you think they actually will change him out?
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
No.
I think it's too late.
I think they've run out of time.
Yeah. And Biden doesn't want to go, and he's going to fight this.
And Jill, his wife, apparently doesn't want to go.
That's right.
So,
they can't risk an open, to use a hockey term, Donnybrook.
Right.
Political Donnybrook.
Yeah. Because you got the convention in about a month.
Yes.
You can't have the ads. If Biden is the candidate for the Democrats, the Republicans can just run ads of David Axelrod and all these people saying the guy's too old.
Well, that goes to my point, or the point, one of the points I was going to make is I don't understand then if that's the case, which that's what I believe. Is the media just in denial, why would they be? I mean, every day they're saying this is a bad idea. Ever since the debate, ever since the debate ended with President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. Ever since then, everyone on the left, everyone that I can find will say he's got to go, we've got to replace him, this isn't going to work. If it's true, like I believe, that it's too late, at some point, are they going to have to switch? When they realize, are they going, when they wake up, goes too late? What, the last month?
Maybe
what's the last month going to look like?
Maybe they think it's still possible. And they're
they're
putting pressure on.
Yeah.
That's a good point. At what point do they turn?
And go
and then
back.
What do they say?
Yeah, we love
Joe Biden. What about this?
CNN covering college football?
Well, I'm just thinking.
Because I got nothing else to do.
If you're the planner of the Democrat National Convention, you give Biden's people the wrong day by quote accident,
yeah,
from, that he's supposed to be right there to make his acceptance speech and just oops.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Somebody else had to accept the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Wesley Wildman. Fred Jackson stepped out of the room. He'll be back in just a little while. We got a couple guests in studio, but before we do, we were talking last half hour about the Republican National Convention going on right now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Alex McFarland will be with us in 30 minutes to talk about it. He's on the front row. Yeah. And sent pictures to prove it last night. So we look forward to visiting with Alex. But we are also talking about the Democrat National Funeral, which will be coming up. And when are they doing that? In August?
It's in August.
So Brother Tim, I'm speaking third person here now, I'm going to submit a theme song for the Democrat National Convention,
which will be August 19th through 22.
Oh, can't come soon enough, really. But anyway, so I thought, and I just came up with this the last 5 minutes, so this is
exciting.
I'm good at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are we actually going to play this?
We're
not going to play the whole song, and this goes back. This song is an old spiritual from way back when, made famous by Louis Armstrong, okay, which is way back, right? So I thought this would be the appropriate song for the theme song for the Democrat National Convention. Let's play it.
Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows about Jesus. Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah.
There you go. What do you think, Ed? You think they would latch on to that?
No, because
you have the whole audience out
he
there
mentioned
singing.
Jesus.
Oh, that's right.
And Jesus is not welcome at the Democratic National Convention. Listen, that Louis Armstrong, what a distinctive voice. But that's funny, making that the theme song.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. All right.
And you know what? Couldn't happen to a better political party.
No.
They've tormented Donald Trump since 2015.
Yeah.
And now they are now they're reaping the whirlwind.
It's time for a little karma.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
What's karma?
Karma.
That's where you go to find out if the car you're going to buy has been in an accident.
Right. That's right.
Karma.
We're on Christian radio. It's called reaping what you sow.
Reaping and sowing. Sowing and reaping. All right. So, and the big news for tonight is J.D. Vance will basically introduce himself to the country.
Right. He's not really well known.
The junior senator from Ohio is the President Trump's pick to be his VP. He's 39 years old, and he's not been in politics long. He's best known for the book Hillbilly Elegy and the subsequent movie, which I've not seen. I've not read the book either, and now I want to. But the movie was made by Ron Howard. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Based on the book by
J.D. Vance.
By J.D. Vance. Guy's a four-year Marine veteran. And graduated from Ohio State University in, I think, 2 years.
2 years. Got a
and then went on to Yale Law School, mm-hmm. where he beat me out for, you know, for the law review editor's job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that was a bitter disappointment.
That stung.
Yeah.
This is where we just say, okay.
All right. So, but he will be, this is prime time for him, literally and figuratively. Tonight for J.D. Vance. I think it does help him that he has public speaking experience.
Yeah.
And is used to being in front of the camera because of his celebrity status.
Right.
When the book came out. So we'll see what happens with that. Well, a lot of people in America today are looking for a good church. And by good, I mean a Bible-believing church that believes in impacting the culture. And we have two gentlemen who are in studio with us today to talk about this, what they're doing in this regard. Neil Mammon, Neil's been on with us many times here before and has been in Tupelo with us many times before. How you doing, Brother Neil?
Good. Thank you for having me back. This is great. I love the new building.
Now, you lived in California.
Well, I escaped from California, yes.
And you did a reverse Jed Clampett, right?
Yep. Well, I think Jed Clampett would do it, too, today.
Yeah, well, he would. He would leave the cement pond and go back to Arkansas or Tennessee or wherever he was from. But you moved from California to – you now live in Idaho.
Idaho.
And also with us is Roger Elswick. Roger is from the Houston, Texas area. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Now, Neil, you're in the what do you call it? IT development business?
High tech.
I was in low tech, but you're in high tech. No, Neil's in, you've been in that industry for a long time.
40 years.
Either private working for yourself, 40 years, or either working for a company. And Roger is in the car business, right, Roger?
Yes.
You have dealerships in how many dealerships?
I have 7 dealerships in Texas and Louisiana.
And you've been doing that your whole life? I mean,
no, I'd say the last 30 years. I came originally from West Virginia, got an accounting degree, CPA, and kind of got into the car business by accident.
I like the pun there.
by accident. I was going to say, becoming a CPA is not a – That's not getting your license to do hair and moving on to something else. That's very difficult.
Yeah, they say it's as difficult as the bar exam.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Very tough.
So, Roger, this was your brainchild, what we're about to talk about. What's the name of it and what's the concept?
The name of it is mychurchfinder.org. And the concept of it is to get people into more of the remnant or Bible-based churches in the country in order to just save the country. It was a God-inspired project in which, you know, I kind of determined that our country was in trouble. I determined that the current politicians would not save us and that we are in this country in a spiritual battle. Versus good and evil, and in that battle, only the church can fight that battle. And as such, we just need to get more people into the churches that would be in that battle to
Did you have a bad experience? Did you have to leave a church because it got too woke or liberal?
Yes, I was a lay elder of a large church. And, you know, at first I considered it was a Bible-based church. But as time went on, it seemed like it became more woke. And so I ended up leaving it during COVID because they wouldn't open up. And fortunately, our next church that we went to is one that I think everyone should attend. It's just a Bible-believing church that's culturally engaged and legislatively active.
Okay, tell us the website again, tell us the website again.
MyChurchFinder.org.
MyChurchFinder.org. Neil, what is it? What does a website do?
Well, basically, it does a number of things. One is if you are looking for a church, if you're at a church today and you realize they're going woke and you want to find a better church, well, you can go to our website and you can enter in the zip code of where you want to look for it, and it'll actually show you all the non-woke churches in that area. So that's the primary function. But we're getting there. We only have we only just started in September last year, so we're growing that thing. So we want people to help us add more good churches there. So the second thing you can do is if you can't find a church, or if you're going to a good church and you want your pastor to put your church on our list, there's a spot there that says, send my pastor an email. You can click on there, send your pastor an email, and ask him to fill out.
But if you're a church, what are the two or three?
You're stealing my question.
Okay. Over to you, Wesley.
All right. So I'm looking at the website. The first time y'all came and we talked about this, first was an idea. And then two, y'all came and we promoted it back in September. Right. Since then, it has, you can just visibly see that y'all have progressed in a positive way, in the most accurate way. And it looks phenomenal. What are some of the biggest changes or the newest updates? Or give our audience what's new, or where are we from where y'all came in September to where we are now?
So right now we have about 300 churches on there, good churches. Mm-hmm. So still not enough, but we just, you know, again, within 6 months, I guess that's pretty good. But the other big change probably is that we've also decided that one of our jobs is to warn you about bad churches.
Sure.
So we went out there and we have found the churches that violate these principles on their own basis, what they've claimed that they're pro.
On their website.
They're pro-transgender. They do same-sex marriages.
They're proud of it.
So we're like, okay, you're proud of it. So
you don't even got to dig.
It's right there, right? Yeah. So we went in and we got all those churches and we stuck them on here as would not recommend. So for those of you who are wondering, basically we sort the churches out into A, B, C, or would not recommend. Would not recommend is that you're, again, against the Bible, you don't believe in the Bible, or you do things that the Bible condemns. That's would not recommend. The C means that you're biblically sound. The B means you're biblically sound and you're culturally active. There, you talk about homosexuality, you talk about abortion, you talk about transgenderism, you preach out against critical race theory, things like that. And that's the B. The A means that you do all of that, but now you're politically active.
So you rate them, A, B, C.
We rate them A, B, C based on they do a survey of 45 questions, right? And so what we now have is now you can go and you can say, hey, I'm looking for a church. Oh, there's a church I certainly don't want to go to, right? And so you can-
45 questions.
Yeah, we've got 10,000 churches.
That's question number 30. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Why do you have 45 questions?
Well, because we don't want to just assume that the church is biblical. So you've got to really, they're worldview questions. So the questions will be-
Who answers the questions?
The pastor has to answer the question.
Okay.
So basically when you send your email to your pastor, or the pastor comes on there, he registers, he logs in, and then he gets this 45 questions.
And the goal, the objective is to help people looking for Bible-believing churches who believe also in public or civic engagement.
Right. We want to find the A churches. We think everybody should go to A churches, because if you're going to a B church that's not culturally involved, you're really dropping the ball, because the Lord wants us to be, there's no part
it's a missed opportunity, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's no part of our lives that God is not involved in.
Yeah. Right? What's the website again?
MyChurchFinder.org.
MyChurchFinder.org.
I just know for me, I'm thankful for y'all because I get this question asked all the time.
You get what question?
When I travel and meet with our listeners and our supporters, one of the top three questions is, Wesley, can you help me find a church in my community, in my area? And I'm going, I don't want that responsibility. I may know a pastor at random in an area, but to put my stamp of approval on a church when you, we all know you could go to church for 6 months and then we'll go, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Well,
wait.
Yeah, no, and people are, especially people who would listen to us, would be looking
very concerned.
Be looking for churches that not only are true to the scripture, but also have a mind on being salt and light,
yes,
and making a difference. Because listen, who knows what history books are going to be, what's going to be said in 100 years,
right?
200 years, 300 years from now. We'll all obviously be gone to heaven. You're going to heaven. Want to make sure,
amen.
For those who trust, amen, in Jesus Christ, he promises when we die, we go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I'm saying to you is that we want to see our freedoms preserved and our liberty and our way of life for our children and our grandchildren and our, mm-hmm, posterity. America is will be 200 and how long till 250? You know, not it's coming up, right?
That's the CPA.
2 years.
He was on it. See, he knew it already.
That's the way his
mind
works.
Ride to the CPA.
I would have had to get my phone out of my calculator.
2 years. So we got 2 years. So 250 years, 2 years from now, our country would be 250 years old. Well, there are a lot of countries that have come and gone in that time period. That's still relatively young if you look at Europe or the Middle East and
right,
other countries around the world. But I'm just saying we're the envy. We're still the envy of the world. You want to know why all these millions of people are coming here illegally? And I don't agree with that, but I understand why. Is because they want a chance at a life of freedom and liberty. And
most of them, I always have to stop you there. Most of them want that.
You know, and
some of them are coming to stop the freedom.
Yes, yeah, right, yeah.
You know, sell of fentanyl, things of that nature. That would be reasons why people would come here,
right,
illegally. Okay, but my point is, the people who get on the boat in Cuba to try to make it to Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
And risk shark infested, and maybe this,
yeah,
is it. Maybe they'll drown. They're poor. I'm saying the yearning to come to a place of freedom and hope and opportunity is universal,
right?
And it's been that way.
It's been that way, and so America is a unique place among the countries of the world, and that's why we promote patriotism. And we want to preserve. That's why we're called conservatives.
Well, I mean, that's the reason I came to this country, right?
Well, yeah. Tell you,
there you go.
Ronald Reagan says it really well. He, you know, he talks about a story, and he ends it. He says it talks about this Cuban who talks, and these people are, these Americans are saying, you know, isn't that great what we have? And the Cuban says, wait, I don't think you understand. At least I had a place to run to. But if we lose freedom here, there is no place to run to. This is the last stand on earth.
Yeah.
This is so critical. I don't think that people understand. America is the most giving nation that has ever been in the history,
yep,
of mankind.
Absolutely.
The most missionary outreach nation, evangelistic nation in the history of mankind. America has done all this. We give 10 times or 11 times more than the next closest, which is the Italians or the Germans. Or so
voluntarily.
Forth. Voluntarily. And this is not from foundations. These are from,
right,
individuals, right?
That's right.
I mean, we give something like 490. Last year, Americans gave $499 billion to charity.
And their time. What disaster,
yeah,
relief?
Yeah,
who's the first?
Exactly,
first
we're the first
there.
Ones out there. Yeah. So America is so amazing, and it only is because of our freedoms.
Yeah.
And when you go into this wokeism or all these, they keep calling Trump the dictator.
Right.
But what did he put any of his opponents in prison?
It's a bunch of, right, scaremongering garbage.
Yeah. Who put their opponents in prison? Biden put their opponents in prison. Or tried to put their opponents,
yeah,
in prison.
Right.
Who put, you know,
right,
anyway, I
good,
wouldn't
no good, that. No good point. So back to the connection here. So what I'm saying is we want to support and promote churches that understand it's not just, even some conservative churches, it's not just, oh, we just preach the gospel,
right,
and have no connection to the world around us, as if you're, and some denominations are like that, right?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Those, the Amish, you know, they isolate.
Well, even within evangelical Christian,
oh, yeah,
like I've that. Had the experience of, I've visited around 10 to 12 churches in our area when Chelsea and I, my wife, got married. we wanted to decide on a church together as a newly married couple. So we visited 10 or 12 churches, only to discover out of the 10 or 12, two or three of them fell under this category, and many of them fell under the B, and then a lot of the rest of them fell below that. And but you would think, you know, in Tupelo, Mississippi, that would be the opposite, think, yeah, right?
The Bible Belt, right?
The Bible Belt, yeah.
So,
to your point, there were several really good from a biblical standpoint, but they were completely disengaged to the world, to what was going on around them.
And this is the thing that you hear. I mean, and as I mentioned this morning, in the devotional, if people say, look, my job is to preach the gospel, I say, remember, the gospel was preached for 200 years in two of the most Christian nations in the entire history of the world. And it was preached every Sunday and every Wednesday constantly, and yet slavery still continued for those 200 years. It wasn't until a group of people said, we've got to stop slavery, and they got involved politically, right. They got involved culturally, and they were the most hated people at the time, but they changed the world.
Disagreement or hate came from Christians.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why we call the place we're sitting in here today the Center for Cultural Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
The Don Wildman Center for Cultural Transformation.
We're just different.
What now?
So we're just different.
Well, it's named after my father,
yeah,
who started this ministry. Is why we say, but cultural transformation. That's mm-hmm. what we want to do. And so, anyway, Neil, thank you so much. Roger, thank you so much.
Website.
Roger, we're gonna give the website again.
MyChurchFinder.org.
MyChurchFinder.org?
Not .com, but .org.
Yes.
That's MyChurchFinder.org. Okay, I need to ask you a question about cars. Can I?
Okay, sure.
What do you think about the electric automobile going forward? I don't have one. I know people who do. Maybe. Do you think that's what do you think is going to happen there?
You just asked me a question that could take 15 minutes to answer. But
that's what
let me try to do it
as a guy who's been in the car business forever, I just wanted your opinion of it.
Yes. I think it's a poor direction for our country. 80% of the raw materials for electric vehicles are controlled by China. So it's a huge national security issue. Also, our energy grid cannot handle it. We don't have adequate charging stations, and it's very costly. I don't think the government should be involved in
choosing winners
or even subsidizing the purchase.
That's what I mean. Is they're choosing in the name of? So you don't believe in man-made global warming?
No.
So you followed up a question that he needed 15 minutes to answer.
Very good, by the way.
With a question that he would need 30 minutes to answer.
Right. Well, I'm with you, brother.
Yep.
I don't believe in man-made global warming either, but I just wonder what you think the future of
I would say that probably, you know, right now the current automobile market is about 7%. Electric vehicles.
Okay.
It may eventually get up to 30%, but you know, there's currently EPA standards that is requiring by 2032 for 67% of the vehicles sold to be electric.
You don't think that's not going to happen?
Can't
is
happen.
It
can't happen. Another thing, in order for that to happen, you would need about 400 mines. So where are
you
going to
get? Hey, we got three right here.
Mines, digging.
My bad. So Ed and Wesley and I, we all got mines.
But I thought the same
we're willing
thing
to help.
That, so that's changed where my mind is.
Yep.
Oh, you mean mines like in
mining for the raw materials. So where are you going to put these mines? It takes 10 to 12 years to get a mine up and going. You know, us as car dealers, we want to sell anything that our customers want to buy.
Sure.
But it doesn't seem to be the demand out there.
That's
right
what I'm asking.
Now.
The demand is not keeping, I mean, so a lot of your automobile manufacturers are scaling back. I know mm-hmm. trucks, for instance, was it Ford or somebody was going to build a lot, and then they said, no, we're not going to do that because they're not selling.
Who wants an electric
right.
truck?
Yeah.
Out
yeah.
loud, right?
Well, I mean, there were a couple of car rental companies that basically said no one wants the electric vehicles. And so they turned it back in. They're not really.
It's probably be like anything else, you know. It's like, you know, jazz in the music field. You know, 3% of people will always say that's my favorite or whatever like that. So there'll be a place for electric vehicles.
Sure. And maybe the technology will develop under true market pressures that will, you know, change the landscape later on. But the government trying to mandate
that's the biggest problem is
ridiculous.
In the name of saving the planet from burning up.
And it's going to fail. Yep. Just no way.
It's going to be an epic fail.
It's going to be an epic fail. As we would say in New England, it's a wicked failure.
Yeah. You're taking us back to yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
You know.
All right. So, what do you guys think about the theme for the Democrats?
I told you what I think. They'll want the word Jesus taken out before that becomes their theme song.
So nobody knows.
But you can understand him better than President Joe Biden, though.
I think that was uncalled for.
Well, did that cross the insulting of the demeaning?
Not on this show.
No, not on this show.
We don't demean. We'll be back momentarily. We're going to talk to Alex McFarland,
who's on the front row
in Milwaukee at the RNC.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.